Hello, my name is Christoph Kemper, founder of the Link Research Tools and my Link Building and SEO podcast, and we got an amazing guest in today's show. His name is Brian Eisenberg, and I want to hand right over to you, Brian. Who are you? What do you do? Where you come from? I know you forever.
Yeah, I've been in this industry since the early to mid-90s. My brother and I, Jeffrey, started the first CRO agency in 1998. I was also the founder and chairman emeritus of the then Web Analytics Association, now the Digital Analytics Association. You know, I've written now 6 books, including, you know, New York Times bestsellers Call to Action and Waiting for Your Cat to Bark. I also wrote very early on the Marketer's Common Sense Guide to E-Metrics and Persuasive Online Copywriting. And my latest book is Be Like Amazon, Even a Lemonade Stand Can Do It. And my brother and I now just run a small, I wouldn't even call it an agency, just a consultancy called Buyer Legends. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And that agency or consultancy is for what? What do you offer? What
is your pro? Our main focus is on helping organizations really deal with the challenges of digital transformation and customer experience. We all know customer experience is changing dramatically. It's been changing dramatically for the last 2 decades. And the same way we've been trying to help companies when they first got online improve their conversion rates online, we now realize this is a multi-channel or an omni-channel world. And it doesn't matter whether it's online or offline. You have to understand how the consumer is evolving, what they expect out of a great experience today, and how to deliver that, and how to create a culture that can keep delivering that.
What's the biggest issue you see for these large corporations and SEO, online marketing, or in general with the digital transformation?
You know, it's interesting. I think the biggest challenge that most organizations face today is just a lack of agility. They just don't know how to execute. There's so much management and silos that get in their way between, you know, data being shared, between information being shared, between poor communication practices, that it just takes them too long to act on things. And one of the most remarkable things to me, and I use this as a great example of Amazon's agility. The day Michael Jackson passed away, they completely reconfigured their MP3 store in under 2 hours. Now, here's what's remarkable about that. I spoke to a friend who used to work at Amazon, and Amazon has a QA process. So by the time someone in the US says, okay, I want to make this change, it has to go to India and then get confirmed back, and that's a 2-hour process.
Wow.
So that means they made the change literally in minutes. In other words, you know, they heard he passed, they confirmed it, they had content probably, and they started pushing.
Wow.
And think about it, in most organizations, you can't even call a meeting in 2 hours.
Exactly. Wow. That's exciting. So is that what Be Like Amazon, your book, is about?
It's a piece of it, certainly. So there are a few things that have made Amazon completely different, and I think is a new rule for thinking about management and running an organization today. We talk about this flywheel effect, all these gears working together. And so certainly corporate agility is one of those gears, but the most important one is their focus on customer centricity. You have to start being focused on the customer. And I love this quote from Jeff Bezos when he was fighting with the publishers about putting up reviews. And the publisher says, no, you can't put up reviews because if you put up reviews, people won't buy books. And Jeff Bezos said, no, hold on a second. You misunderstand. We are not in the business of selling books. We're in the business of helping customers buy books. That's customer obsession.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So we start with customer obsession. Then we go to a culture of innovation. They're always trying to invent things. And here's what frustrates me to no end, right? If you think about this. Amazon just started opening up stores last year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have one store in Seattle. Now they've opened one in Chicago. They're opening up a couple more in New York. Meanwhile, with all the other billions of dollars spent in physical retail around the globe, who was the one who invented Amazon's Go seamless checkout with AI and visual recognition? It's like, wait a minute, you know, they're the ones who've been focusing on this because they know it's such a major issue. And so, you know what, All these other companies had to talk 20 years to innovate on the store experience. They haven't, and it's going to take Amazon to do it. Then once you go to innovation, you have to have that corporate agility, right? If I have a great idea, then I need to execute on it, right? Uh-huh. And we've already talked about how great they are at that. And they do that because they're built in, as we know, the world's oldest startup, lots of small teams that are self-guided, self-operational. You know, they have permission kind of to do everything, and they're cross-functional teams. It's pretty amazing. And then lastly, which is what I've obviously been known for the longest amount of time, is their focus in on optimization. It's not just conversion optimization, which obviously they do a lot of. They run over 200 tests a month, and they've been doing that since 2004, by the way. But they optimize everything from operations to finance to logistics to right everything in order to improve the customer experience, and that brings the cycle over and over and over again. Uh-huh.
So they don't stop. They don't settle for anything, even if they're on top of everything already.
Do you know what one of the original names was going to be for Amazon, by the way?
No.
Relentless. They are relentless. In fact, if you go to your browser and you type in relentless.com, go see where it redirects to.
I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
There you go.
That's the mission, yeah. It reminds me about another saying or another phrase that I've been using for years, DIFN, do it freaking now, for getting things done as quick as possible. And you know, that applies to small things or bigger things, but it seems like that this agility on the organization is and this ongoing testing and maybe even breaking stuff is something very quick. That I had a similar saying from Zuckerberg at Facebook, break things fast or something like that. And they where he brags about breaking the code himself, you know, going into software he hadn't maintained for years and just doing something, fixing it or breaking it in a moment on the life side.
Well, because companies don't look at that as failures. They look at that as learning. It's like Thomas Edison, right? He said, you know, it's not that, you know, he failed 10,000 times at creating a light bulb. He found 10,000 ways it didn't work. Learning. That's all it is.
Fantastic. Oh yeah, I so look forward to that book. And you mentioned you also got an audiobook version coming out now in the next days also. That should be available very soon.
And it's a very, very different type of book purposely. It's written more as a fable, and it's a fable of an older man and a younger man on a journey in a car ride. And you get to learn all about business and a whole bunch of lessons through there.
Oh. I remember reading some management books in that fable style as well, so many years ago. It's cool. You're narrating that yourself?
My voice makes an appearance somewhere in the book, but I won't tell you where.
Okay. All right. I look forward to that. You got big, and I got your books as well. You know, always be testing and the conversion rate optimization was your big, you know, that's how I met you in 2005 and your brother back then. But how does that connect to SEO and link building and link audits? And what kind of takeaway do you have? What do you see that could help people, you know, improve their rankings or improve their links?
Well, you know, I've been involved in it, and when I first started in the industry, I was obviously very focused in on SEO, and then I realized that my advantage was on tweaking things on the website to improve the customer experience, and I was getting a lot more results. So if I can get 100 people to the website, and beforehand I was only able to make two of them customers, and then I was able to make a couple tweaks and make four of them into customers, it was a lot easier to double the sales especially back then. Back then, you know, people couldn't find, you know, an add to cart button, right? They couldn't find a continue shopping button if they got to the cart. So it was easy things like that just, you know, okay, move the button to the top and make it visible. Super, uh-huh. super easy. But we learned a lot of lessons about SEO over the years. And what I always said is, you know, especially once Google came around, was that their focus was on trying to duplicate what was best for the customer experience. And even Eric Schmidt said, you know, and this is the challenge from a link building perspective, which I'll touch on, is and where Google has gone to, which is they've always tried to replicate their online results to reflect what the real world was like, right? Not just links, which is limited to online only, but obviously what's going on in the real world. So if I'm a toy vendor and I have the number one brand, let's say I'm Fisher Price, right? If I don't have a lot of links, but everybody's buying my products offline, that still should be reflected in the search results. And so Google certainly had a challenge with that, right? Uh-huh. And so over the last number of years, they've gone in and they've started using two different sorts of data sets to tell this, which is one, a lot of the on-site activity. Remember, they have, you know, the largest share of the browsers out there, right, between Chrome. They have almost 70% of websites that have Google Analytics on there, right? You know, they have Android. And so all of this data feeds into knowing, okay, once I leave the search page, what happens on the website, right? It used to be back in the very early days, the only thing they used to know is, okay, what search result links did they click on? And that's how they based it. Eventually, they got smart and said, okay, well, I can look at search engine links, and then I can look at how much time they spent on the page. And if they came back, then I know they didn't get their question answered if they kept on looking, right? Mm-hmm. And so generation after generation, now we've entered the last generation. So I have all this web browser data, but I need real world data. And so now Google has gone into this big, you know, big data world, and there's lots of third party data. Like we can see that, you know, Facebook can target you on like what you're purchasing with your credit cards and all that. And they can, and let's not forget also that they have Gmail. And so they can see, you know, purchase confirmation data, right? All this data, right, feeds the algorithms. Uh-huh. And I've always said SEO is actually very simple. Mm-hmm. Super simple. Five R's to SEO. You have to be relevant to your customers. You have to build a reputation. You have to be remarkable. And I definitely want to speak about that one. You need to be readable to the search engines. That used to be a bigger challenge back in the day. It's less and less so today. And then you need to be marketing for sufficient reach, right? Some people try to market into a puddle. You're not going to get a lot of traffic if you market into a puddle. But if you market to an ocean, then, of course, lots of people look for you, but it's harder to stand out.
Right.
So five R's. And when we look at Amazon, I find them fascinating because they defy most of the advice that most standard SEOs have focused on for years. Right? Amazon does not produce any of their own content.
No content creation at Amazon? Is that what you say?
They don't. Well, other than now Academy Award winning movies for their, you know, for their Prime Video, they haven't. They've never created their own content. Remember, they, you know, got product descriptions from the manufacturers just like everyone else did. Uh-huh. They had no human editors. All they leveraged was their internal data for customers who saw this, also saw that, and then they leveraged their customers to create reviews for them. They did this so well that they ended up with millions and millions of product pages that were super well optimized both for search and conversion that everybody would link to. And of course, all their early affiliate program, a sign of their innovation that got them more links than anyone else. And all of a sudden, Google had to figure out, well, if we don't do product listing ads, we'll never get any product searches. Everybody was going to Amazon. And now 51% of all product searches start at Amazon. And so they did that by being relevant to the customer, by building a great reputation for a great experience for the customers and being price competitive, by always being remarkable because they always had more content and those reviews, the community they built for it was just amazing. Pages were always fairly easy to read. They never got fancy with technology. And of course, they marketed to the long tail exceptionally well, right? That's why they had, you know, hundreds of millions of pages indexed.
And still have.
And still have, correct.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, they started really early on. What do you do today, you know, if you want to replicate that 20 years later?
Well, I think it's the same formula, right? So number one, you know, how do you obsess over the customer so that you're truly relevant to answering their problems, their needs, their wants, and their questions, right? That's the first thing you've got to do. Then you've got to build a reputation that you're great at doing that. One of my favorite examples of this, by the way, is Warby Parker, right? Warby Parker, they said, look, you know what, how are we going to create great content? we're going to go ahead and every customer question that we get, we're going to record as a video. And they started putting those up on YouTube. And they just got amazing rankings because of it, because they were answering all the customers' questions that were relevant. I mean, just not to, and they built a reputation for it. And now they've built a nice little brand, and they're starting to build offline stores and all that. So great things. They're remarkable, right? They're not priced like everyone else. People love their styles. They have a great business model. So people are definitely talking about Warby Parker. They're getting media coverage. They're doing all of that. Again, their pages are readable, both in both their standard pages, and of course their YouTube stuff is very easy to do. And they're dealing in a market with a sufficient reach, right? They're dealing with people who need glasses. This is not rocket science. It's simple. It's just not easy, right? It's not easy being customer obsessive and being relevant to them. We think we're being relevant, but we're only scratching the surface, right? We think we're building a great reputation, but our reputation is actually pretty mediocre, right? And then lastly, we think we're being remarkable, and we're just average, right? Those are the hard things to do.
Got it. Yeah, that's very inspiring, and I certainly look forward, to getting the full book and diving deeper, just like I dived into your previous works on that one. And when it comes to our interview here, our podcast, we're a little bit at the end of the time limit, the time budget. So I would like to ask you for a short, bite-sized tip or takeaway or some immediate action that you would recommend to anyone doing SEO or starting SEO or being 10 years in the industry, whatever comes to mind, if you have this one key learning in all your years of experience that you would like to share with us.
I would say, I would follow in the footsteps of what Warby Parker did. I'd go and spend tons of time listening into the call centers, listening to customer service, listening to the salespeople, listen to all the questions that are being asked, and produce interesting, high quality content related to it, and answer your customers' questions. It's going to be hard to duplicate what Amazon did. There's no question. But there's lots of other ways that you can become remarkable. Some things are going to be great. Some things are not. But get agile. Just keep producing. You're going to get better and better and better. And then some things are just going to hit really, really well.
Awesome. I'm going to do that. I spend at least an hour a day in our customer success team, at least, and do a little bit of these recordings and videos to get back in the webinars or on solos or in podcasts now. But the podcast for me is a part of this, answering questions that we get on a regular basis as well. So I'm really glad to hear that as a takeaway. And yeah, I thank you so much for being with us in this episode of the Link Building and SEO podcast. I thank you very, very much, Brian. And yeah, I look forward to inviting you back again, because I don't think I'm going to stop doing this as much as I enjoy it at the moment. And yeah,
I think it's great. I love the format. I love how you're getting some of these questions out there. And again, this is what, makes people stand out, just the same way that, Rand started with his Whiteboard Fridays, and all of a sudden that became what was remarkable for them, right? I think this is another way for you to be remarkable in your industry and link out to the rest of the community.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And I got Rand actually next week, so I look forward to that discussion as well. All right. Thank you very much. Brian Eisenberg and Christoph Kämpfer say goodbye and have a wonderful day or night or evening or weekend or whatever. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.